James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into a dark, it's dark outside, dark Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room this weekend. We roll the clocks back. So Chase, you'll like that. Get you extra hour of sleep starting on, or seems like you do, starting on Sunday. 205-342-9904 is the phone number. If you'd like to jump in on the show, download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You also can send us an app message throughout the show right there on the app. If you want to email us, you can do that at wimpandberry@yahoo.com. Pressure treated pine, guys, from Great Southern Wood. They bring you the 7 o'clock hour. You want to build that five-star backyard, then you want to do that with Yellowwood. To find the closest to it, you go to yellowwood.com. And always remember, if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. I guess Ron Higgins was wrong. If you get beat bad, they'll just fire you. Now, I don't know where they're finding all this extra money. They're paying out an extra $21.5 million to athletes now, and now they got to pay another $53 million to Brian Kelly, plus another who knows what to his staff, Dad. So these grumbling fans seem to be causing these coaches some problems. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, no, I'm fine. Here's the problem. If you're 34-14 and you have a personality like Lane Kiffin has, you don't get fired. If you're funny, if you're cute, if you score at times, and you're 30, you won 34 games and you've lost 14, you don't get fired. He got fired because of the bad laws. Yes, I won't argue that. But he also got fired because he didn't like you to start with.
Yeah.
His personality didn't clear with him. It didn't go clear with the media. And it was a personality. Don't tell me at 34-14 firing up $56 million is – should be on the table when and you get beat by a team that, hey, the media didn't pick A&M any good. So nobody knew A&M was going to be that good. A&M's played well. We're playing with a season of a lot of scores. You know, we're getting ridiculous scores. Tennessee 56, A&M 49. Texas comes back with 45 points. The offensive UCLA gets beat 50-6 or something like that by Indiana, a basketball program. So the offenses have caught up and passed the defenses, and you know you can fire a lot of people. You know, you got to hire somebody and put somebody else in there. But you know, you get mad at the time it happens to you. Somebody crosses you or something, you get all upset at that particular time, and you start cool down. You're right, $56 million, ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway. Alabama, you want to say fortunate to win the game. South Carolina was ready to play. Their people up front were ready to play, ready to get at the quarterback. And they, you know, played a little bit harder, played a little bit better. We can talk about the game. You can call in and tell us what happened and why it happened. But, they came in ready to play. And Alabama could have lost, could. The word could, didn't. So, just sitting there with a pretty good record, and Vanderbilt continues to do the best they can. So we welcome your calls. That's about it.
Yeah, Alabama just, they got no running game whatsoever. They rushed for 72 yards. But I will say Ryan Grubb is ready for every situation. So you need a two-point conversion. He's got one, and it looks like they've worked on it. You need a first down on the fourth down. They've got the plays. I was thinking that, man, I got to do a better job. I got to have a great out-of-bounds play in a last situation. If I need a three, I need a great play. So they do a lot of preparing there. So when it comes time to when he got to 22-20 and they were going to go for two, they knew exactly what they were going to do. And they ran a reverse to the quarterback who threw it in there. But those things just don't happen. Like, you're not trying to think of it right as it happens. They must work on this stuff during the week. But no running game whatsoever. I don't know your thoughts about Ryan Grubb and always having a play ready to go.
Yeah, I think quarterback-wise, they're throwing the ball in people's hands so well that they're kind of bypassing it. I'm sure they're not bypassing it, but they haven't found anybody that really does a great job. But, you know, you get down, like you say, and you've got to score a touchdown, and you've got to get two in order to stay in this game. You got to do what you can do, and they did that. You got to give them credit for that, because you're looking to give them some knocking on them for not doing this and not doing that. But I think the running game is a struggle, and LSU will come in now. I don't know. You know, some people say they'd be playing better because they have a different coach. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be interesting. You take poor Mississippi State, who hadn't won, can't beat their grandmother, gets beat with a score that big. Texas coming back like that is unbelievable. And you take, you know, the hugs that the Auburn coaches staff got that game against Arkansas. Somebody made fun of him. I get up at my blue plate, which I don't blame them, but come back like that and win that game. So, not come back, but to come in there and be ready to play and win that game is big. So, a lot of different things happen. So,
there are people that are saying that Chase, that dad was just trying to help Jimmy Rain out, that he bet against them so Auburn could get a win. All Alabama's got to do, Dad, all they have to do. Alabama's got three straight home games. They're going to beat Eastern Illinois. If Alabama can, if they win two out of three, forget the Eastern Illinois, they're going to win that. Two out of three, got LSU, Oklahoma at home, and at Auburn. You win two out of three of those, and you're in the playoff. That's all you got to do. Win two out of three, and you got two of them at home, and you got to finish up at Auburn. So you knock off LSU, Oklahoma, you're going to beat Eastern Illinois. Even at 10-2, with the road win at Georgia, the ranked wins that they have, this team will be in the college football playoff. Two more games, win two more, and you're in. Do you agree to that?
Yeah, I think so. We're already going to have one team that the genius presses didn't pick in A&M. So we got one team that's going to be in there. There's our first surprise right there. Our second surprise, a little bit, can be Vanderbilt. Could be. So we've got some surprises there. And, Texas is, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. How many do you think the SEC can get in that number?
Four.
Four? Four. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, big game this weekend. Arch Manning got a concussion late in the game. They're at Texas. I don't know why that game's at 11, but anyway, 11. Then they got two home games, Auburn, Kentucky, and they're at Tennessee. So I would think if they could win, that's a pretty tough schedule. If they could win three out of those four, they'd get in the playoff. But it's going to be the Kentucky, would probably be the only given. At Texas, they got Auburn at home. They'll probably be favored against Auburn at home. They won't be favored this weekend. They won't be favored in the last game of the year. at Tennessee. All right, we got a couple calls holding. We'll get to break here. We'll get to Mike and to Phillip when we get back in, from break. I didn't agree with Shane Beamer letting Alabama score on that last run just because our field goal kicker, I was nervous as crud that he would not make that field goal. We just let them score. I know there wasn't enough time. They felt like they were going to run the clock out and kick the field goal, never get the ball back. But there's just so many things that can happen. You can get a 15-yard penalty. These guys don't make these field goals. This guy has not really ever made a pressure kick. So I did not agree with letting him go in the end zone. But and then Jesse Palmer was blaming Bernard, said he should have gone down. He made a mistake. Has he been watching our field goal kicker kick him? I'm not knocking the kid, but he just hasn't had to make a pressure field goal like that. So I don't know. I would not have let him score there, but, you know, whatever. 2 minute truck at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxers, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, or you're just trying to get ready for the holidays and you need two men to come out and help you around the house. Give them a call today, whatever you need. They'll take the stress away. It's 205-247-5050. 2 men in a truck, movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good morning, it's Mary Kay from the Town Square Media Newsroom. The Tuscaloosa Chamber of Commerce is gearing up for its 8th annual Holiday Market, which is a seasonal showcase that gives West Alabama residents an early start on Christmas shopping while supporting their hometown. Get more details by tapping the Tuscaloosa Thread app. Alabamians will soon gain an extra hour of rest. Daylight saving time ends on Sunday, November 2nd at 2 o'clock in the morning when clocks officially fall back 1 hour.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, good news for you. 2059 right around Buttermilk had an earlier accident that has since cleared. Otherwise, traffic looking good on the rest of the roadways on 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. That's moving at posted speed. No worries on Lurleen Wallace. It is green for go from 15th Street.
With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches and pains hold you back from doing what's important to you. Uses directed.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHsystem.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Rain diminishing this morning, just a few isolated showers this afternoon and tonight. Otherwise cloudy and cool. The high today 61, the low tonight 52. Tomorrow a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few widely scattered showers, the high 64. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Are you the Yellowwood hotline? Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Ben.
Morning.
Coach, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thank you. Sorry it's been a while since I called, but listen, you know, I live here in South Carolina. I'm glad we won that game. We got lucky.
Yeah.
Thank God we won, because I didn't want to hear from all these South Carolina fans, you know, beating us again, you know, and Williams-Brice. But listen, I agree with everything y'all said up to this point. We have no running game. I don't know what the answer is at running back. What do y'all think? I mean, Daniel Hill? I don't know.
Is it the running backs or is it the line? You know, the, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Probably a combination. I don't know.
You're right. Probably,
I don't know.
Probably is a combination. Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
But it's we're in surviving advance mode right now. You know, we just got to keep winning and get to the playoff, like you said, you know?
Yeah. Win two out of three of these SEC games, you'll beat Eastern Illinois, and I think you're in the playoff.
Exactly. No, I agree. I agree. But I just wanted to call in and say hello again. It's been a while. So, you know, appreciate y'all. Love the show, and I'll let Philip talk, too.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
What's up? Hey, guys. How you doing, my friends? I got a few things I wrote down here, if you don't mind, Barry.
Sure.
Refer to my notes. You may have caught this, too, at the LSU game when Texas A&M returned that kick for the touchdown. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the camera moved to Kelly and the special teams coach on the sideline, and he was in the middle of a sort of chewing out that special teams coach, and I read his lips, and he said something about our jobs. I could tell it when he said it at the time. He said something about our jobs. I just remember that. I don't know if anybody else does, but it'd be interesting to know. Tyler Watts said the same thing Jesse Palmer said about going out of bounds. Now, he could have been tongue-in-cheek. I don't know, but he did say to Chris Stewart, you know, I wondered if he should have just gone out on the one. And Chris Stewart quickly said, oh, no, you take it in the end zone. And I agree with Chris on that because – I don't have any faith in Talty either. I think his range is so limited. But, you know, at that time, you want to go ahead and get points. You want to get the points. So Watts did say that. The running game, I'm just surprised that Riley has been set aside so fast. You know, he did great, you know, from game two to game four. And then after game four, he's sort of been used very, very limited. And A.K. Deere has not been used at all, which I don't quite get. But I think it's more just the line can't block. They're just not good run blockers. I think Martin Houston hit the nail on the head a little while ago. He said these guys are so trained in the pass block from high school on up and these 7-on-7 drills that they just don't know how to run block. And I think there's lots of them.
Yeah, could be. You know, I don't think they're actually – obviously in 7-on-7, you're throwing the ball. So the technique and footwork and all that's more towards pass blocking than run blocking. But Jim Miller had 10 carries for 26 yards. Bernard, I don't remember how long that last run was, but he had 3 rushes for 23 yards. Ty, 6 for 17. Daniel Hill, 3 rushes for 10. And Proctor, I'm about had enough of that experiment of him running the ball. He had 1 rush for no yards. So that's
far in the backfield. Yeah. I think Proctor works on the 1 yard line, not the 6.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You got these running backs and all that. I mean, if he fumbles one.
Right.
Yeah.
At the end of the first half, you and Coach Sampson may have noticed on that last play there, I think that was a pass call. And Bernard just was not able to get, you know, just not able to find his receiver, or somebody wasn't looking for the ball. You know, he ended up running it for several yards at the end of the first half. But I think that was going to be a designed pass.
Yeah.
You remember that play?
I don't. Daddy, you know what play he's talking about?
No, I don't. But Bernard, I'll tell you one thing, he's been a surprise.
Yeah.
And you know, Alabama did not have Brooks or Horton the other day. Horton didn't step on the field.
Yeah. Receiving, Daniel Hill caught 4, Ryan Williams 7, Bernard had 5 catches, Jim Miller 3, Quavis 3, and Rico Scott with 2 catches there.
So. That's another thing. They wanted to get Rico involved a little bit more, but Rico didn't run some good routes.
Yeah, you know, you score the touchdown, you go for 2, you get it. South Carolina's got the ball. They can go down there and kick a field goal and win the game. And you get a strip. And when you get the strip, the kid's legs are so far into the pile, there was no way they could overturn it because you couldn't see his knee if it was on the ground or not. Jack was at the game. He said the atmosphere was incredible in there. But he texted me, is it going to be? I'm like, yeah, because you can't see his legs. If they called it a fumble on the field, there was no way to overturn that. So give the defense credit there for getting the football back.
Oh, that's right. It was a tremendous win. I was worried about that game all week. I felt like Alabama was not necessarily ready from a not preparing standpoint, but I felt like Alabama might have just hit an exhaustion standpoint right there, and that would have been, I could sort of see it coming. I think we all of us could, but they got through it, and a lot of interesting things happened in that game. DeBoer pulling Keylon Russell away from that South Carolina assistant or whoever that was interesting. I saw that after the game. I don't know if you caught it, but he yanked him away and put the play sheet over his mouth, and he said something to Keylon Russell as they were going off the field. So, good job, Coach DeBoer, for heading off a little poaching right there.
Yeah, they'll get to him. Can you imagine having to worry about all that? A worry. Yeah.
I don't know where Nick Saban's going to end up next year. I would think ESPN again, but, a lot of chatter on the LSU side of things about him going back to LSU. And stranger things have happened in the world of sports. You can never just discount something like that happening, but I can't see him wanting to get involved in this mess again, because it's a full-fledged mess.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Philip.
Thank y'all.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, AC.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm not going to ask how you guys are feeling because you already answered. Remember that time last week I talked about Brian Kelly? You remember that conversation, correct?
Refresh it. I don't remember exactly.
Okay, this is what I said. If Brian Kelly, I mean, last week I heard he's about to get fired. That's a rumor. However, I did say if Brian Kelly goes 0-2 between Bama and Texas A&M or 1-1, those conversations will go back up again. Brian Kelly should be fired. Well, he got fired, and he's going to walk out with $54 million. Oh, my God, that's a lot of money, right? And of course, the taxes and everything. I mean, here's the question. I have two questions for you. Number one, who should be the next head coach for the LSU Tigers, number one? And number two, who should dare to take Brian Kelly considering the resume? I see Brian Kelly's like Rex Ryan. All the hype, no championship, no gold. That's the way how I feel. I could be right or I could be wrong. So let's hear your reaction. Thank you so much for taking my call. Brother Chase, you're doing a great job. I do appreciate you. Thank you.
Who's LSU? Who's the dream candidate for LSU now that they can get?
Well, I have no idea that, God will leave. AD will have one in mind. I have no idea. They'll put they've already named somebody. I think Wilson got it to be the interim coach, but I have no idea whether they'll try to go back to some former coach or not. I doubt very seriously they will. It's not an easy assignment at all. And I think it's going to be whoever you hire is not going to satisfy the majority of, nobody is going to be satisfied unless it's a name. And, of course, coach at Penn State, all indications may go to Florida. I don't think Lane Kiffin's going. I don't think any more comments about that or not, but I think he's probably going to go to, I think, to Florida. Any thoughts on that? Changing subject.
You think the Penn State coach is going to Florida?
That's what I think.
I can see that. I think with LSU opening, LSU job's better than Auburn, probably Penn State and Florida. So if I were Auburn, I'd be careful because the picking of the litter is dwindling fast with all these jobs open. And so somebody's going to have to take a chance on an assistant, at Oklahoma State, at some of these other jobs, and the dominoes will start. I definitely don't think Lane Kiffin's going to Florida. If he took any job, I could see him taking LSU. But his daughter dates a player over there.
By talking to his team, indicates to me that he's not talking to his team and telling them he's going to Florida.
No.
he's talking to his team and telling him he's going to stay.
Yeah, well, that was before the LSU job opened. You know, that was a big, you know, I didn't realize he didn't have a top 10 win on the road at Ole Miss. Well, now he's I don't know if Oklahoma's top 10, but
y'all play real hard tonight because I'm going to Florida.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No. All right, we'll take the break here. Thomas Rib Shack, go to thomasribshack.com. You're looking for a great lunch, looking for a great weekend of catering food, go to the website thomasribshack.com. They got the great catfish, the great barbecue, all the options for the barbecue. The sides are absolutely incredible. Dad loves their fried okras. He says it's perfect. It's the crunchy okra. They got the green beans, the macaroni and cheese. Just swing by there today for lunch and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. Listen, Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head east for SEC action against South Carolina. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, good news for you. 2059 right around Buttermilk had an earlier accident that has since cleared. Otherwise, traffic looking good on the rest of the roadways on 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. That's moving at posted speed. No worries on Lurline Wallace. It is green for go from 50.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry. Only on Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing. Pappy's corn's pleasing.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure sure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Former assistant football coach, Florida State Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South, joins us every Monday during college football. Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Great. Good morning. How y'all
doing? I'm all right. Max, I'm reading an article here in the New Orleans paper that Brian Kelly and Scott Woodward were meeting yesterday morning.
Right.
I don't think Brian Kelly was going to be fired when he first went in, and they wanted him to fire the offensive coordinator. And he said no, he wanted to fire some other coaches. They got into a heated argument, and before you know it, Brian Kelly was turning his key in. Just your thoughts about what happened there. And when do we start holding these ADs accountable? They're ones, I mean, didn't he hire Jimbo Fisher? Jimbo Fisher got $70 million, and this guy's getting $54 million. That's to my – I don't do math very well. That's over $100,000 in buyouts of coaches that this guy's hired. Just tell us what you know about this LSU situation.
Well, I did get a call late yesterday afternoon where the money guys were trying to get that 50-plus reduced. I felt like then it was going to happen. I don't know where it's officially happened, but I've seen it all on the Internet this morning. But, I mean, look, the personality guys never did fit. Mm-hmm. You know that. And it just and the expectations were there because he was hired under the expectations to try to put LSU at the national scene. But we watched him all through the year, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, and it just never has come about. And then that beat they took Saturday night was about as severe as you could take, both physically and on the scoreboard. So I felt like then, you know, something was going to happen. I didn't know when, or whether they, you know, let him coach the rest of the, you know, to the end of the year. But I did, a couple of guys I've known for 30 years or so, I got calls from them saying they thought it was going to happen right away. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know whether they ever got that reduced. I heard it got reduced from 54 down to $25 million. And when, as soon as they got the guys to step up and put that up, they were ready to pull the trigger then. So that's all I got on that. But I hate to say this, but to me, it's warranted. I think if you just watch the way he handled himself, he handled the team, he handled the coaches, and you look at the performance on the field. I mean, why didn't he pull Nussmeier in the second quarter? The guy, the offensive line, was blocking for him. He has little or no speed to escape, and he got the hell beat out of him. I'm just telling you, it was. I mean, that kid got beat up bad in that ball game, and I blame that on the coach's point.
Yeah, that.
I think if he had Lane Kiffin's personality, he could have made it 34-14. It, the personality was losing the game like that, a killer for him. You may disagree, but I think overall, he turned people the wrong way from the very time he got there.
I agree. And a lot of it's just his attitude. I mean, sometimes it wasn't the spoken word; it was just his attitude.
No.
You know. He just stand there and look at you and not say anything. Wouldn't even give a response. I mean, it was, you're right, it was the total package. Just didn't fit.
Well, Max, he took the money to start with because his wife really wanted that kind of money up. They really felt like they weren't. Notre Dame does not pay you the way most schools get.
Very true.
And they're very, very careful with their money. And athletic director is over it, and he's, you know, very cautious of what he gives people. So when the wife says, you know, we worked real hard at Notre Dame, we got a shot to make this kind of money at LSU, that school, I think that was a big cause of it, too.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. The fact is, you know, and he knew either way if he got fired or, you know, because of the heavy buyout. But now I don't know that he thought that they will have to reduce it to get rid of. I think he was probably as tired of being down there as people are tired of him, if you'll know the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, because it just is, you know, his lifestyle, his personality just didn't fit. And I don't know what point in time athletic directors or hiring committees set up by the universities going to realize if you don't do a thorough background check on some of these guys and find out more than what they, you know, more about their daily habits and all, more than just coaching. Because they got to live a life outside of that. Their family does anyway. And, you know, we've seen it in other schools where we know good and well about Auburn. When they went up on, you know, went up and broke one from the northwest corner. It just didn't work out. And it's hard. And Alabama's guys do, the boys adjusting, let's put it that way. But he's winning, too. But you get that mixture where that personality doesn't fit. You don't win on top of that. You got a problem in a heartbeat.
Besides Lane Kiffin, I mean, Lane Kiffin can't take every job. Who's a good fit at LSU, Max?
I don't know. I mean, not right now. That's another, that search committee is going to have to, you know, I don't know. I think Brent Key's going to move from Georgia Tech. Maybe not this year, but the other year, I think he's as good an upcoming guy that's out there right now. And he's taken and done. I think he's done as much with that program as can be done with it. I don't know what his goals are. At least a lot of these guys can get to one place and be satisfied to stay there, and not have to worry about, you know, jumping to another school, rebuilding a program, rebuilding in a new place, you know, new whole arena, dealing with whole new people, not only players and all, but administration and the communities on top of that, your fan base. Sometimes can be overwhelming to a lot of these guys, particularly at the large schools where you got more than just two or three you got to deal with. And I think some of these guys are smart enough to figure that out. The money things will always play a part. I know that.
The rebuilding has been doubled by the transfer portal. The transfer portal has redoubled the rebuilding, making it very difficult on you to get everybody. I think the transfer portal and the it used to be you could rebuild somewhat, But I think when you add the transfer portal, your guys are going out trying to get you guys to come in. It just, I think I agree with you. I think it just doubles your problems on rebuilding.
Yeah, it really does. And I think the whole thing of the rebuilding, Coach, is you can get great players off of that, but to be consistent, then, you know, they're going to have to stay a year or two to learn to play together. And then you got different personalities on there. You got some that, you know, are going to be continual jumpers, going to change every year or two. But that's why, even though the portal is an answer to a lot of schools, I know that, it's also a problem to a lot of schools.
Yeah, it is.
Some coaches' personalities can't handle that either. You know, they used to do it their way and bring guys in. They come in as number twos or number threes, and they build up, they work hard. By the end of the season, maybe they're getting some rotate number ones, or they're good enough, or they're better than anybody else there. They jump right in, and they got a dressing room problem with them. I mean, it's worth the money these guys make, I'll tell you. I think it really is. Yeah,
Max, Ole Miss gonna make the playoff.
I think so.
I mean, you look at their schedule. They got South Carolina at home. South Carolina's just gone through a gauntlet. They got the Citadel at home, Florida at home, and they're at Mississippi State. I mean, at worst, they're gonna go 3-1 with that schedule. They may go 4-0 and be 11-1.
That's what I think too.
Yeah, they're going to the playoff.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, he's worked hard, and of course, you know, he's going to have his opportunities to stay or go, whatever he chooses to do. And I think this will be a interesting. And I know he had the meeting with the team. And I think I saw reference where he did not, back when Auburn was flirting with him 3 or 4 years before they hired the last staff over there. But he didn't talk about that. He felt like that the team suffered because they didn't know. So I understood. He got the team together Friday night and explained it to him exactly. When you win it like they are, those kind of rumors are going to always be out there. And whether he's made up his mind yet, I don't know that anybody knows. But I do know this from Florida. They're going to offer whatever it takes to get him to go. And I know they'll go. I already know from the inside source down there, they'll go $14 million in a heartbeat a year for 6 or 7 years.
I just don't see him going to Florida. I could see him possibly going to LSU, just because you're the biggest school in the state. You know, you're fighting so many people in recruiting down there at Florida. I just don't, I don't see it. But anyway, what makes this Elko so good, Max?
The portal and the oil wells, that's all I say. Yeah. I mean, they took a – LSU took a beating from that bunch, buddy. I'm going to tell you, physically and every other way. And, you know, he came there with a pretty good, you know, pretty good resume. But the fact is I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, the strength and conditioning coach has been a mainstay at LSU for the last 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly fired him, and guess where he went? He went straight to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, they let him know, the kids let him know that pretty quick, that they were coming there to play, and they did. So I think the surrounding coaching staff and the momentum that they gained through the year, and I think there's a bunch of things that played a part in that. I don't think any one team that can make a move like they have. Even though we've known they've had the possibility, but they've got it all together now. I don't think that just happens overnight. I think that takes some time and some planning and some effort and a lot of support from fan base and from the administration and all the above. And I think he's got it. He's put it together. And I mean, I don't know where you saw the Texas situation with Mississippi State or not, but how Sarkisian could get so excited about an overtime win against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've seen a coach that jumping up around, having been number one in the country at the beginning of the season, and have the last team in the SEC that you beat in overtime, how that could drive so much excitement from you. So that's another one that's, I think, is going to have some problems before it's all over.
Yeah.
course, we all know that the little close wins Alabama has had, if they'd been losses, we'd be talking about a different thing. But, you know, you got to be good. You got to be fortunate. He's been a combination of both.
Sure.
I think personality wise and player development wise, I think he's okay.
I agree.
Go ahead.
The kids are responding to him, is what it amounts to. You know, and I think that's the way you can tell in close situations when the game's on the line and how the kids play. I think you can tell that right off the bat. And the kids at Alabama are playing hard right now. Of course, I don't think Simpson had his great game by any means. But South Carolina, I mean, look, they're a one-man team without a doubt. Without the quarterback situation there. And, of course, the rumors now coming out that Beamer may be on the way out and going to Virginia Tech to take that job. I've heard all that stuff. My daughter and son-in-law have season tickets, and they're pretty well connected over there. And I get a call once a week about what's going on internally at South Carolina. And that's the big story behind the scenes, that he's been heavily courted to come to Virginia Tech and take that job when the season's over.
Just your thoughts about this weekend. You got Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt at Texas. That's a big game for both teams, really. But Vanderbilt, you know, look at their schedule here. They're 7-1, 4 games left. They've got Texas on the road. They got 2 winnable games at home, Auburn and Kentucky. And they got Tennessee on the road. If they could win 3 out of 4 of those, I think they got a shot to be in the playoff.
They do.
Arch Manning got a concussion at the very end of the game there. What are your chances of Vandy going in there and winning? The line's 3.5 now for Texas.
I think Vandy have to play a good ball. They'll be as good a team as they'll play physically. I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder a little bit about the organization and the coaching aspect. You know, sometimes I wonder about the play caller from the sideline with the talent that they've had, but that's not mine to call. But bottom line is, I think Vanderbilt, if they come in and play a good football game, if they're all healthy, I think they got a good shot. Texas just, even since that Ohio State ball game, just hadn't lived up to the expectations. And I don't know whether it's, internal problems or the talent itself. I know they had to replace the whole offensive front early. It started off with a new one early in the season, but we toward the end of the season now. And like I say, and I know Mississippi State's gotten a little bit better than they were last year with only 2 wins. But the fact is, guys, they still Mississippi State, and the talent level is not there as it is. It is a lot of other schools, particularly at the University of Texas. And they struggled all the whole ball game. So Vanderbilt's a lot better than that, and I think they got a great shot to go in and win that ball game.
Well, what makes guys so apprehensive about changing quarterbacks? I mean,
it's coming from the NFL. All that stuff. Look, the NFL teams. 99% of them will keep that quarterback in to the last if they're ahead. Maybe play the second quarterback 2 minutes in the ball game at the end, and that's all I know. It emanates right down, from the top level. That philosophy comes down, and we see it. You're right. We see it all the time. We saw it. I go back to that first statement I made. Kelly and them might have gotten us by our kills in that ball game the other night, and he still wouldn't finally substitute when the guy couldn't hardly get up off the ground.
Well, I'm just saying Auburn goes to Ashton Daniels and, they end up winning the game. Jackson Arnold, I mean, I know you're paying him money, but I'm not going to lose my job over Jackson Arnold. I'm going to try somebody else, and they end up coming back and winning the football game. And then I'm pretty sure Ashton Daniels will probably start the rest of the year, won't he?
He should, but Bear, we don't know what's been said, not only the money thing, but we don't know what's been said, how many promises have been made. You come in, you be the quarterback, you'll be the starter, and, we're going to promote you, we're going to get you to the NFL. We don't know what all's been told those kids. And then once they break, the coach breaks that
confidence in him where they have to pull him out. The players and all look like that's the coach's decision, and sometimes don't take in consideration the reason the coach has to make the change is because the kid that he told that to is not performing. They don't look that far. They don't. That's been my experience in that. And Dealey, just be careful how much you promise a kid when you recruit him and to get him there. And I think that's what I really do believe that's what happens a many times, particularly the quarterback situation. We saw that last year with Texas, with Urich. I mean, that kid wasn't a great NFL prospect. Well, we saw where he went in the draft. If you paid any attention to what he's doing his first year in the NFL, he ain't doing very much. And there's a reason, because the kid just didn't have that talent level to make it at the next level. And you know he's been told that since he'd been recruited there. He came back. You know, he could have come out his junior year, and he decided to come back because he's promised he'd get the starting job back. So I'm truly believe that those communication channels that are open between coaches and players, particularly now when they got the portal, they got to, you know, if they find somebody they really like, they can fit your system, then what you go promise him, they're afraid that if they change on that, the rest of the players will say, hey, this guy's just spewing smoke more than he is anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. Stoops, does he survive?
I think it's going to be up to him. He's at 11 and a half million a year now. I think a lot of people probably don't realize that at Kentucky. But if they got the Kroger money, he's pretty well compensated for that. And I'd heard earlier that this was going to be his last year, and I don't know whether that was his suggestion or he was told that was going to be. But I look for a change there anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it comes about. But, I mean, look, what has he been there, seven years? He's done well financially, and he'll be well compensated. He'll go on off retire and do whatever he wants to do. And I think a lot of people forget that. If you've never been through a couple of seasons at that level and just scraping, just trying to get, sometimes it's a blessing to get a chance to get out. And I think that might be, his situation there.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything else. It's just amazing. Your guys, when you were coaching Florida State and so forth, they'd take a nap at lunch, the head coaches. Or they'd eat something that the wife fixed them. It ain't that way anymore, is it? Max, that nap deal, when you used to see them take that nap, I'd just go by there with Jimmy Rain and visit with them. They're taking a nap. I eat that brown paper sack lunch. They don't do that anymore.
That's right. Nope. I'm afraid they don't. I don't know. I don't know. They've thought so much of all the change he brought in. I think they brought in 70 kids this year and 6 new coaches after that 2-10 team last year. Well, he starts off, beats Alabama, man. He gets all the national publicity. Well, he's lost like 3 or 4 in a row now. I think it's going to take some hard to go. I think they're going to probably cut him loose, to tell you the truth.
Florida, LSU. Florida State, Penn State.
That's right.
Oklahoma State. A lot of jobs open. Auburn might as well just hold on to him. I don't know who they can get. There ain't gonna be nobody left to hire.
That is true.
There's one guy, Barry, that's making it. The guy is Jimmy Sexton. He's getting a percentage of every move that's made.
Yeah, why is he following Saban around? He was with Saban on Friday. He followed him around.
Well, you know why? You know who made the bid? He made the bid for Ole Miss to keep him, or if Florida wanted him, he wanted $15 million for 7 years. And that was Jimmy Sexton's bid.
Wanted who? Wanted who?
Ever heard to keep? Wanted Ole Miss to keep Lane Kiffin, had to pay him $15 million for 7 years, or if Florida wanted him, they had to come up with a 7 years, $15 million.
Think about the timing for Kiffin. He wins that road game.
Yep.
Florida's open, and the LSU coach gets fired. So he's hotter than ever at Ole Miss right now. He's got all the power.
absolutely does.
And that was his first top 10 win.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, the thing is that Ole Miss cannot afford that. I mean, I'm telling you, I know enough about the budgetary situation over there. They're almost like close to $20 million in debt right now in the athletic department. They've lost 5 years, $5 million, $7 million, and losing 12 this year in the last 3 years. Mm. And they can't keep piling it on. I think they matched the 11.2 that was started off to keep him. But I don't know how much higher they could go. I mean, they just don't have the backing. They don't have the amount of money to sustain that. Now, if Lane's willing to take less, and be happy right there, but guys, I'm just telling you, this: when you start measuring what Ole Miss can do and what LSU and Florida can do, there's no comparison.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you're making $10 million or $13 million. What's another $3 million really going to do for you?
Well, no, it doesn't necessarily mean what they can do, Barry. It's what the program can do for him. It's what on the national level. I read studies when I was at Ole Miss. Ole Miss may have in contributors across the country because of their small student body. They may have 200,000 people that they could draw money from. You know how many Florida and LSU's got? They got between 600,000 and 800,000 that they can draw from. And that's the difference right there, is how much money you can draw from the program. Not just you, but how much money you've got to come to that university because of your athletic department.
Yeah. All right, Max, what's for supper this weekend?
Man, I tell you what, we got pork chops and ribs, but I got a different thing on ribs with them this time. I slabbed them up and we threw them on the grill and browned them. Then I pull them off and I take the tinfoil and I'm going to wrap them, but I got a kind of a base that I use, and it's weird as the devil, but it's really good. And I'm not going to go into deep, but it's basically honey and cayenne pepper. Mm. And it gives you just enough tang and enough sweet. And I wrap those ribs in tin foil. I let them stay on low heat for about 2 hours before we eat them, and pull them off and unwrap them, and they're still smoking. And that honey has seeped in all the way through to the bone on that stuff. And you pick the ones I've done, the big ribs, you can pick them up and the meat will almost fall off the bone. And it is tender, man, I'm going to tell you.
Wow.
And then we had our regular sides. We had baked beans. We had stuffed eggs. Had coleslaw. And we had homemade rolls. And blueberry pie. A big blueberry pie and homemade ice cream on top of it.
There you go. Max, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate it. All right, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Max. All right, we'll take the break. Yeah, he does good. All right, we'll take the break here. Dial us up 205-342-9904. One thing, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They made the 7 o'clock hour possible. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
White lightning.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Green Bay Packers won the Sunday night NFL game at Pittsburgh 35-25. The Packers scored 21 straight points in the fourth quarter. Tight end Tucker Kraft finished with 7 catches for 143 yards and 2 scores. Denver won its 5th straight game 44-24 over Dallas. R.J. Harvey, 3 total touchdowns. New England won its 5th straight, beating Cleveland 32-13. Drake May, 3 TD passes in the third quarter. Indianapolis is now 7-1 after ripping Tennessee 38-14. Jonathan Taylor on 12 carries at 153 yards rushing, 3 total touchdowns. Tampa Bay is 6-2 after winning at New Orleans 23-3. LSU fired head coach Brian Kelly. The World Series continues Monday night. The Orioles' new manager will reportedly be Cleveland assistant Craig Albernez. NASCAR victory for William Byron, and the Lakers won at Sacramento 51 points for Austin Reeves.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, moving right about here on the Tuscaloosa Freeway, starting to fill in, however, and get a little thicker on 43 on the southbound lanes to McFarland. You do have a line back to Cardinal Street, but this looks like normal delays. But we do have some rain in the area, so you got to be careful and reduce your speed.
17 Pro 250.
56 gigs, $1,099.99, and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan without a pay, plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Rain diminishing this morning, just a few isolated showers this afternoon and tonight. Otherwise cloudy and cool. The high today 61, the low tonight 52. Tomorrow a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few widely scattered showers, the high 64. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota, still like the tire special going on. Now you got to take advantage of it. It only runs till this Friday. So buy three tires, get that fourth tire for a dollar. You can go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule a service, rent a Toyota, all right there at TuscaloosaToyota.com or swing by Skyland Boulevard, 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. We got several calls here. What's up, Bryce?
Well, Bryce, I don't know if you remember this, Barry. 5 years ago when he hired Brian Kelly, what did I say they're going to be doing in 5 years?
I don't remember what you said 5 years ago, but tell me.
They'll be paying his buyout.
Yeah.
I never thought he would make it. I never thought he was that good a coach. He beat Coach Saban one time, and everybody thought he hung the moon. I didn't think. I think he's way in over his head coaching the SEC. You know, he's with the big boys, and that's what I thought. So it didn't surprise me at all when I heard it, you know, yesterday. Well, y'all can't be pretty, Barry. We won. That's all I can say. They're going to be some ugly games, but you got to win those to get there, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to win some that maybe you stole. I think at one point during the game in the fourth quarter, Alabama had an 18% chance to win. They did. And give them credit for making the plays. They had to make critical plays. The two-point conversion, you almost had to get it, and they did. So
the fumble.
Give them credit. I mean, yeah, the fumble.
I mean, South Carolina, I knew that. I don't know if I told you last week. I dreaded that game. I mean, I knew it was going to be a hard game. You know, if we didn't play it well, then playing down there, anything could happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked at it. But I'm glad that they made the plays to win, and that this game would have came a long ways when they, you know. You know, they find a way to win. That's what good teams do.
That's right.
You know, like Coach Saban team. You know, some of them are still not convinced, but they still want to let us think they're not convinced. But I think he's never going to say he's coming around on him. But you know where I'm at on that.
Yeah. So,
but
matter of fact, he's holding on. I'll get to him right now. Let him.
Tell us what he thinks.
This is going to
be good.
This is going to be good. Well, thank you, Bryce. Bye. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
Or that guy there, you know, after following him, I just feel like hanging up because he's the typical sidewalk fan that's going to get with a winner. And then when they, you know, he's just hung on the Alabama thing because they win. You know, he's got all these catchy sayings and all that stuff, but, you know, everybody can't win, you know. But I'm going to tell your dad something here. He said last week that I told you so guy. Well, y'all can tell me on Brian Kelly, because I thought he would be successful at LSU, and I was wrong, and I'll admit it. And, you know, but I met a guy at a cattle auction a week ago last Saturday that was from Louisiana, and he told me Brian Kelly lost him, and he's from a parish below Lafayette, Louisiana. And he told me Brian Kelly lost him when he came down there and was trying to have a fake Louisiana accent. He said, man, just be yourself. We can accept that, but don't come down here and try to act like you're one of us and you're not. So he lost him very early, the fan base in Louisiana. And
he lost that one guy. I've already told you at the very beginning, it was personality.
Yeah.
And he's not a great coach.
Yeah.
I've told you that's a very, very.
Yeah, and I think Dad's 100% right. It's how you treat people, and you can watch how he treats people on the sideline. And so when it goes bad, yeah, people hate you because, and I hate's a strong word, but when you talk down to people, they don't like it. And you can see him talking down to his assistants over there. So I would imagine the morale in that football building's not very good because people don't like working for guys that talk to you like that. They just don't. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I guess I was trying to hang in there with him and see if he could turn it around, but I'm wrong on him.
He's 34 and 14. Most places, that's good enough. At LSU, it's not. I don't think they were really going, but he's controversial. When he and Scott Woodward got together yesterday morning, they were wanting to make some changes, and he was wanting to do something different than they did, and they butted heads. And at the end of the day, if you owe him $54 million, he's got the power, and you can tell him no and fire him and just pay him, and that's what happened.
Well, you know, the governor got involved. I read a thing late last night. It hit my phone about 11:30, and the governor got involved. They called the deal to the governor's mansion with Woodard and the Board of Supervisors. They do not have a president now that's a permanent guy, and they announced five finalists last week. So the governor runs the school right now, pretty much. And they all got together, and they said this deal's over with.
Yeah. Well, it's just the way that game ended. In the fourth quarter, the place was empty. So the negativity the program. Those guys are going to transfer out if you keep him.
I've seen the empty before when Coach Bryant was there, before you guys were even born.
Yeah.
So it's the way LSU fans are. They're 88 and out the gate fast. So they drink a lot and they're gone quick.
But they like to have a party. They like to entertain. They like to have a good time. And they want to like their football coach. And he just, for whatever reason, doesn't look real likable to me. So
Right. Do you think against Alabama they'll play the second string quarterback? He gives them a better dimension than Nussmeier does. At least he can run the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, you better be careful. Whenever they change coaches, like these teams get a new life for a week or two. And I know it's a time off. You look at these UAB fires their coach, and then they win a game they never should have won. So these guys play loose. These coaches kind of relax a little bit, and they're not under as much pressure. They kind of know what's going on. So these teams play a little bit better the first week after you let a coach go, and that's LSU's next game. Here.
Yeah. Well, good deal.
So
we'll see what happens, but sounds like Max thinks Kiffin's gonna have to leave because of Ole Miss's financial situation.
I don't think how much more money do you need at the end of the day?
Right, right.
I don't think he meant it that way. I don't think he's gonna leave.
Yeah, I just think he's saying. I just think he's saying they're tapped out, and Lane probably knows it. And and I think Lane's appreciative of what they've done for him, and they got it rolling, and his family's happy. And so I'll be shocked if he leaves, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he's staying, but, hey, I could be wrong, and I'll admit I'm wrong. Yeah, but I think he's staying.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Cowboy.
All right, y'all be good. Thank all you. All right. You be good now.
We'll get to break here. We'll get to Doug Bell. Well, look, let me dig up Doug's picks and see how Doug did over the weekend. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we found some trouble on Skyland Boulevard northbound at 3rd Avenue. Now, we're after 3rd Avenue. Actually, this is at 2nd Avenue, but it is blocking the right lane, and traffic is slowing down considerably, trying to maneuver around that. And we've also got some heavy traffic.
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's daily update on Bama Sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud supporter of the Crimson Tide. For more information, visit GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are some thoughts from Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer after Alabama's road victory on Saturday at South Carolina.
Just the story of the game is resiliency. Doesn't matter how you win. It ain't going to be pretty all the time, especially when you go on the road, SEC game. Coach Beamer, a well-coached team. We knew they were going to fight. Tough environment here, and just proud of the way the guys hung in there for four quarters. And so, again, it wasn't pretty. A lot of stuff that, were missed opportunities or breaks that didn't go our way. The ball, we always got to make sure we're doing a good job with the punt that bounced off of us and gave them good field position. But defense did a nice job holding them to field goals early. And, had their backs to the wall with a few different possessions with a shorter field, but came through in the end, got that turnover, and guys finding a way to get in the end zone.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to Crimson Tide Rewind on the full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Joins us every Monday. We talk a little golf, and then we let him pick a few games. We got to see. He's been on a hot, man. He's 6-0 the last 2 weeks. We'll see how he did this weekend. The one, the only, Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. How's it going on a beautiful Monday?
It's good.
Not very good.
I knew I could count on Coach for a little positivity there.
Yeah, I knew you. I knew you were going to ask that because you knew I lost. You won, so I went ahead.
Not so fast about him winning.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that. Go ahead.
No, I just on the golf tour real quick. Go ahead. We had a major change. What was it? I can't even remember what it was.
The big deal yesterday, Coach, out in Utah, this young guy, 23-year-old Michael Brennan, who won three times on the Canadian Tour. They call it PGA Tour Americas. And he got a sponsor invite, and he was the first guy to win on a sponsor's invite since Nick Dunlap 2 years ago at the American Express. I mean, this is a big deal. And, you know, he won three times, so he'd earned the right to play on the Korn Ferry next year. But now since he won, he has a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour. So it was – and his mom and dad were there. There weren't many people walking around watching. It's obvious. We've talked about it. It's opposite football, so you're not going to get a lot of eyeballs. But a big deal for this young guy. So good for him. He'll be a full-time member of the PGA Tour for 2 years. Nick Dunlap, by the way, speaking of Nick, he misses the cut and continues to play very poorly. Trey Mullinax tied for 51st. He won a little over $14,000. But the important thing for Trey, he got a few FedEx Cup points, and he has three tournaments left. There's only three left on the calendar for this year, and Trey has to pick up about 200 FedEx Cup points over the next three tournaments to get playing privileges for next year. And if he doesn't do that, he's not going to have a PGA Tour card next year. So Trey really has to get to work now with three tournaments to go.
Ooh. Doug, you were at Dad's old stomping grounds. You were at Pleasant Valley, and you ran into Dickie Pride over the weekend.
Yeah, and that was the that's the great story too. Well, not a great story for Dickie. Number one, Dickie Pride. Talk about a guy who's had an amazing career. He started at the University of Alabama. He wins 1994 the tournament in Memphis on the PGA Tour. And the late, great Ken Venturi, why not Dickie Pride? He yells on CBS Sports, why not Dickie Pride? And then Dickie now has gone through, all sorts of Monday qualifying, missing out, making his way in the PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour. And now this week was the second to last tournament on PGA Tour Champions. The top 36 make the Charles Schwab Cup in 2 weeks, which is really big money for the Champions guys. And Dickie misses a putt on 18 on Sunday for birdie that would have put him in the top 36. He finished 37th. His season comes to an end. It's been a good season, by the way, because last year he had no status. He had to Monday qualify this year and get sponsors invites, and he really had a good season. So he'll at least have playing privileges next year on PGA Tour Champions. But, Barry, it was great talking to him. Dickie remembers where he came from, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He loves the Tide, and it was really, really great.
So you were in Pleasant Valley and Little Rock?
Yeah, for a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
His wife is from Arkansas, and so that's kind of home territory for Dickie, even though they lived in Orlando.
Yeah, you know, Dad had a membership there in Chennault. I don't know how he does it. You should have put something on his tab over there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would have definitely done that, you know, because not that I've done that before, but yeah. I might have done it this time.
That is a nice place. Those guys are great people. I enjoyed my time there with them. What's his name from Florence? He's okay. On the
Stewart, top five. And so, again, in 2 weeks, that'll be the Charles Schwab Finals. The winner gets about $500,000. So
it's gone, though, and they've pretty much going to wipe away the
Tour. I asked Dickie about that. I had Dickie on my podcast, the old Gabbox podcast, and he said he feels confident that the future is really bright for PGA Tour champions. He doesn't think it's going anywhere. They had a meeting last week with the powers that be at the PGA Tour, and he seemed to indicate that there was a lot of positivity, that the tour doesn't want the Champions Tour to go away because, you know, you have a lot of names out there, a lot of Hall of Famers, and they think it each individual city that it goes to where it may not get national ratings on television, it's important to cities like Birmingham. And so he seems to think it's going to be around. So I was encouraged by that. I don't want it to go away, but everything that I'd heard was a little negative about it. But, you know, of course, Dickie's out there, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
I can't pick my nose, much less a team. I can't pick anybody. I mean, I stayed those things back and forth. I'm 4-7.
The biggest giveaway over the weekend, and nobody talked about it, was was Colorado going to Utah. That line was like 7 or something, and Colorado just got absolutely smashed at Utah.
Yeah, Coach Prime said he's never – that's the worst he's ever been beaten on any level in any football game.
Yeah.
He said he'd never been a part of something like that.
Well, you got a disciplined program versus an undisciplined program at home. So, all right, Chase, let's see how Doug's done. He was 15-12 headed into the weekend. That 15-12, that didn't sound like that's pretty good. No, he's made a big comeback. I think he's been 6-0. Chase, you ready? All right, here we go. Doug, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. He said take Oklahoma minus the 4.5. Lane Kiffin didn't like that, and that would be a loss, Chase.
Yeah. Kind of hate that music.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, you said take Vanderbilt minus the 2.5 against Mizzou. He caught that ball down there at the goal line. Doug, you were afraid that thing was going to go to overtime. It didn't. You said take Vandy minus 2.5. You got the dub there. Give him a
dub. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. And then, Doug.
Who knew the coach was about to be fired? I didn't know
you
that.
You said take LSU plus the 2.5 versus Texas A&M. I don't even know what the score was, but I tell you this, 2.5 wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't.
LSU not only lost the game, they also lost their coach, so that would be a loss. Yeah, so you went 1-2 over the weekend. You're back to your rare form. 16-14 for the season.
Yes.
But it's better than 4-7. Better than 4-7.
Oh, I know.
Congratulations.
That's a coach. I feel for you. Well, I feel for you, Coach. I feel for you.
You know how he feels, don't you, Doug?
Oh, I know it. And I know the look on his face right now. I know it. I can feel it to the phone.
He felt like at halftime he had it. He had it. And then Auburn changed quarterbacks and he did it for Jimmy Rain. He was trying to get Auburn a win. So that's what happened.
Hey, the LSU deal, though, listen, the one thing, Texas A&M, say what you want about LSU, but Texas A&M is outstanding. And I know Alabama's having a great run here. And A&M has some tough games now ahead. They've had a relatively easy schedule up to this point, SEC-wise. But, man, they look like the real deal to me, Texas A&M. So that was pretty darn impressive. It really was on Saturday night.
But I know you, Doug. You're 16-14, and you're trying to go 19-14, and you're going to swing hard.
I got it, guys. I got three winners, as they say.
All right, Chase has got his pencil out.
Chase loves this. By the way, the best team to bet on in the country, number one Ohio State, 6-0-1 against the spread. Memphis, by the way, came back and beat South Florida. They're 7-1. Texas Tech, Mississippi State, all those teams 7-1 against the spread. Alabama 5-2-1. Worst teams to bet on in the country: Texas 2-6 against the spread. Oklahoma State and Baylor 1-7 against the spread. Thus, they're looking for head coaches. Yeah, so don't bet on them. Stay away from them. All right, guys, you ready?
Yeah. Or you could say they're due. You know.
Or they're due.
How long have you studied? How long have you been studying?
Into the wee hours of the morning, because I know I'm going on your show.
Yeah, you got some website that gives you all this information.
I know what you're doing.
I study more for your show than I did back in college.
Oh, yeah. You guys ought to be. All right, we'll see what your study. Yeah. Your study didn't work real well. You didn't pass the test last week.
All right, Coach, take notes. I know you guys hate it when I say lock of the week, so I won't say that. I'll just say I'm very confident in this game. Notre Dame is at Boston College, and I know 28.5 is a lot of points. But the Irish, coming off a bye week, after the 0-2 start, they've won 5 in a row. Looks like they're going to end the season with 10 in a row, I do believe. Boston College, by the way, won their opener. They've lost 7 in a row. 1-7, 0-5 in the ACC. And Boston College just might be the worst Power Four school in the country right now. I mean,
Is that our boy Bill O'Brien?
Yes.
Yes, 28 and a half.
Golly. Last year, Notre Dame beat them 44-0, and this is a really bad Boston College team. A lot of injuries. I'm telling you, Notre Dame they not only need to win, but they need to run up score on people if they're going to get sneak.
Surely you're not calling 28.5 a lock.
Yes, Notre Dame steamrolls BC by at least 5 touchdowns on Saturday. Chase. Mark it down, guys.
All right, Chase.
Like a bumble or nothing, huh?
Chase, I know you don't think he's being honest, but he is. That line is 28.5, and he's taking Notre Dame -28.5. All right.
BC's terrible. All right. Ole Miss, you know, I lost with them last week. I went against them, and they're really, really good. Back at home now, 8th in the country, hosting South Carolina. Really a matchup of great quarterbacks. We saw Sellers on display against Alabama, even though he did fumble there on that crucial drive late in the fourth quarter. Trinidad Chambliss, what can you say about this kid? He really bounced
good
back
player,
after
boy.
That.
He's good.
Yeah, my goodness. He is really a good player. I just think Ole Miss catches South Carolina on a real downturn, especially after a heartbreaker to Alabama. I like Ole Miss covering the 13.5 at home against South Carolina.
Okay. There you go.
That ain't bad. All right. That ain't bad.
Now, you're right, probably, but Ole Miss always loses a game they're not supposed to. Just put that out there. I'm just saying.
I'm telling you, though, Ole Miss looks pretty darn good to me.
Yeah.
And the coach is, if he wants to leave, he's going to have a opportunity to go to a lot of places. So we'll see what happens with Lane Kiffin. Oh, by the way, Shane Matthews, you guys need to get him on the show. He was on my pod last week, too. He thinks it's a lock that Lane Kiffin is coming to Florida, the old Gator quarterback.
He's not.
So we'll see what happens. All right, lastly, Kentucky at Auburn, guys. The Wildcats have lost 5 straight, and I think they'll be in position to change coaches here soon. Cutter Bowley is their freshman quarterback. He was a high school quarterback in Kentucky last year. And, you know, he's really a talented kid, but every time he throws a couple of touchdowns, he throws a couple of interceptions. So he's up and down. I think Auburn, after the win at Arkansas, I think they come home. They win 2 in a row. Hugh Freeze, for the moment, seems like his job is going to be okay. I think Auburn covers the 10 against Kentucky at home on Saturday.
Do you really?
I got 10.5, Doug, but I'll give you 10.
Oh, he's got something different, Doug.
The other lines I have.
What do you have for Ole Miss, 13.5?
Yeah, the other ones were right on. This one, just a half point. Okay. Usually doesn't scare you, but that half there at that 10 might scare. But I think at Auburn, they going to play Ashton Daniels? They going to start him?
Sure.
I think they are. That's the word. And, you know, he played awfully well in the second half, and the team seemingly responded. And I think you go with a hot quarterback. And I think Auburn is in a position now to win a couple of games in a row in the SEC. And in Kentucky, man, a program, you know, defensively Kentucky is pretty good. But offensively, they're terribly inconsistent, and they're turnover prone. In fact, they're tops in the SEC in turnovers. So I just think that in that environment at Auburn, I think Kentucky and the young quarterback is going to really struggle. So I like, listen, a lot of points in my picks, guys, and I know you didn't like the Notre Dame pick, but Boston College is the worst team in the country. Ole Miss is on a roll, and I think Auburn comes home and the schedule's laying out pretty good for him. Arkansas followed by Kentucky.
I can't find those stats that you give. You need to text me out where you find those
stats. He's on a pay site for that.
No. It's called research, guys. Research.
You ain't researching all that.
Yeah,
you
I know who you research.
You ain't researching all that. You got some one of those betting websites, and it throws all that crap at you.
I got it researching, and it ain't yours.
And it makes you sound smart. So.
No. Listen, guys. And on my podcast every week, I do my picks, my extensive picks, so you can. You can listen to that, the Old Gabbox podcast. So, you know,
I see
there.
On your Twitter, you're really pushing this Casa de Campo.
Well, yeah, and thank goodness the hurricane is going over Jamaica, and it's missing Casa de Campo right now. They're getting a lot of rain, but I talked to my friends down there, and you never, the hurricane, you hate it going over Jamaica, but and the Dominican, the DR is a small island, and it goes over quickly, but with all that they're doing, redoing golf courses and things like that, they just, they were hoping and praying that the hurricane wouldn't hit them, and right now, it looks like it's going to go the other direction, so that's good news for them at Casa de Campo.
Yeah.
Did Dickie Pride say anything about laying around on my basketball camp and being, I had to get him up?
You know, Coach, it's interesting. The Texas A&M staff has some Alabama guys on that staff, too. Bucky McMillan's. So I know Darby Rich is still there as the strength coach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Coach, you got a lot of people that you touched for a long time still sprinkled throughout the Southeastern Conference. So good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 100 years old.
Coach, I saw that old picture of you the other day when you were an assistant coach, 1965 at the University of Alabama, Coach.
What?
Yeah. That was on social media the other day.
I wasn't even born in 65.
Coach was looking sharp.
What?
I'm glad I didn't see it.
Coach had his shorts on, and the shirt said Bama basketball, looking good on my back.
He must have charged some on his account at Pleasant Valley. You're buttering him up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Coach, I'm just saying, if you get a bill and it's unknown, just, okay. You know.
One of the great running backs named Moody, mate, and I played golf with all the time. He's a great running back at Arkansas. He and I played golf together. I don't know if he's still living or not. So.
All right, Doug, we got your picks out on social media. So
congratulations.
We'll see how you do.
28.5.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
I saw Clemson beat Boston College at BC, and Boston College, they are really a bad.
But does the guy at Notre Dame seem like a person that would run the score up on you?
Well, yeah.
He does?
Last year they beat them 44-0.
Well.
And I think they're in position now. You know, listen, if Notre Dame finishes 10-2 and they wipe out the second half of the schedule by whopping scores, they're gonna be one of the 12 teams.
There you go.
Getting into the playoffs. So that's their strategy.
There you go.
How many teams in the SEC will be in those 12?
They're gonna be four. Four?
And they are?
Name them.
Who are they?
Well, I mean, you got Alabama, you got Georgia, you got Texas A&M, and you got Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt will get in.
Make that five. Yes, and Vanderbilt will be the fifth.
Vanderbilt's not going to get in. They're going to lose two of their next four. So
if Vanderbilt goes 10-2, 11-1, they're
going to
be 15,
not going to go 10-2 though, because they're going to lose two of their next four. They're going, unless they beat Texas, they ain't going to win at Tennessee. Do you think they're going to win at Tennessee?
Yeah.
Is Texas the disappointment of the year?
No. They're not the disappointment of the year. I mean, for heaven's sake, how they would have been if they lost at Mississippi State. They would have been if they lost Oklahoma.
Is Auburn a disappointment of the year? LSU and Auburn, are they two disappointments of the year?
Oh, I think they're terribly. I think they're two of the biggest disappointments in the Southeastern Conference.
And Clemson. Clemson's a disappointment, too.
Well, and, you know, South Carolina's a disappointment.
Their Carolina's schedule's ridiculous. They're at Ole Miss, and then they're at Texas A&M. After just playing Alabama. So, all right, Doug, we got to get. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you guys. See ya.
All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, the outstanding bank of personal and business accounts. You handle both. They'll be good to you. They'll do a good job for you. They'll handle your money for you. They'll be darn sure you don't lose anything. People coming in trying to beat you out of it, and you'll find that Bryant Bank will be a place you bank online around the clock, and they'll know you when you come in. They'll be interested in the surroundings that you with your kids and so forth. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room. Open up a business and personal account with them, or just one of the two, and I think you'll find you'll be very, very satisfied.
All right, we got Vinegar Tip, we got Tony Holding, Ricky emailed me yesterday. He said, add black pepper to vinegar and you'll be amazed vinegar cleaning hacks. I don't know what that means, but I guess the black pepper helps it clean. So add black pepper to your vinegar when you're cleaning. You listen to Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We got some busyness going on in North Fort right now, looking at an accident on McFarland westbound at Academy Drive. Now, this is going to block out both the right and center lane, so it's got traffic bumper to bumper tight, not only on McFarland, but you're
156 gigs, $1,099.99, and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan without a paperless taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
I've been good.
Inside the locker room, Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Go to coveragefortown.com. You can get your quote right there at the website. But swing by, see Michael, dial him up, 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, for all your insurance needs. What is the vinegar tip?
Well, I'll tell you something, folks. If you have insomnia, if you just absolutely get into bed at night and you cannot sleep at all, what you need to do, that's a problem. That's a problem. But you don't ever sleep. You just can't sleep. So you get your big wide mouth jar that put a teaspoonful of stuff in there. Stir up 3 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar. And also put some honey in there, 1 cup of honey. Put that stuff aside your bed. Stir it up good. Put that stuff aside your bed. And take 2 teaspoons of the mixture to start off with, just to see how it goes. And you'll feel better. They're telling me that you're going to feel better in 30 minutes. That you're going to feel kind of sleepy. And if you're still awake after half an hour, take two more teaspoons full of it. If you feel asleep after that, take a sleeping pill. If you wake up during the night, unlike drug-based sleeping pills like Barry's suggesting, you still take even more.
Oh,
and look at the money you save by going to the store and buying sleeping pills.
Now, what do you mix this vinegar with?
Honey, a little honey.
Isn't that sugar?
Yeah, honey. No, it ain't got no sugar in there.
Honey don't have sugar in there?
Honey's got sugar in here. But what you got to do is that you got to lay there and you say, still ain't sleeping. Hand me another teaspoonful. Mm. So you just get 1 teaspoon after another. And then when that night's over with, you might fall asleep. And you might sleep in the daytime. It's that thing you're supposed to do. You be sleeping in the daytime. Insomnia is bad. It's bad. So if people get in the bed, they can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get in there and they sleep pretty quickly. But that's a good tip.
All right. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. All your sleep is taken care of now. If you have a problem sleeping, put that at your bed. Just keep taking it until you fall asleep. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. Get Tony in. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Barry, I've been listening. I do think if you're talking about fits, who fits, I do think Lane Kiffin fits what Florida wants and what their fan base wants. I can't speak for the boosters and everybody else, but it just seems like they want to score points, and they like a little coach, like, a little bit like Spurrier. He's got a little swag to him, likes to talk the game up a little bit. And I do think Brent Key would be a great fit at LSU because he plays football the way, or coaches football the way that fan base is used to winning and coaching, or seeing their product on the field. I, you're right about Auburn. If I believe they're going to just have to hold on, because I don't know. I do think LSU's a better job, and I think that Florida's a better job than Auburn. I don't know who they could get, but somebody's going to get John Summerall out of Tulane, whether it be Kentucky if they make a move, or if someone leaves, like let's say Kiffin goes from Ole Miss. I think they could look at him. He's a pretty good football coach. He's won everywhere he's went. But do y'all think, Coach, personally, that Saban will get back into it?
No, I don't. I think I'm going to tell you about Brett Key. Brett Key is very, very good. He's a good football mind. He handles his staff very well. He will be hard to handle if you walk in there and knock on that door and criticize him as far as, you know, what you do this for. But with his team and with his staff and with the people that surround him, he's tough and good. And I think he's terrific. Barry thinks he's good. I do too. But you better be careful. You better knock on that door before you go in there after you hired him. Because he's not going to sit dick around with you. I think Brett Key's a good choice for somebody. Yes.
I do too. I agree. I just think he fits down in there at LSU. But guys, I mean, y'all seen it. And Coach Anderson, you was around, my assumption. I know you were there during the Gene Stallings era. You can't. Guys, you're going to have to. You got to let football coaches make football decisions. And some of these universities that have a booster says, well, I want you to hire this coach because he's my nephew's cousin or whatever the fact may be. That bothers me as a coach, because you're letting outside people dictate who you are and ain't going to hire as a coach. Coach Stallings.
You have to remember, athletic director with Beavs, Gene left, the athletic director, he couldn't stand it. And he's 88 now at the gate. And, you know, Beavs got off to a bad start. Beavs is tough to deal with behind the scenes. He gives you that soft look up front, but he's hard to deal with it. But athletic director, he had enough, and the problem they had with
was that Bacher.
Yeah,
it depends on where you are. Like when Alabama was going to hire Nick Saban, they had pretty much tried everything, and they had their hands up. And Nick Saban said, "I will take the job. But I'm not listening to any athletic director, no booster. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Keep those other – now, you go tell all those people that before I say yes and make sure they understand. If you're okay with that, then I'll come." How many guys can do that? Can Brett Key do that? Hey, I'll come, Scott Woodward, but you ain't going to have nothing to do with the football program. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to come in there. I need to hire whoever I want to hire. And do whatever. That's what you have to do to go in there and be successful at these places.
That's exactly right. And the like I said earlier in the year, the formula has been cast. You know how you can get it done, but there are some programs, they're just not going to garner that. They're not going to give that up. And I hate to say this. Well, I don't hate to say it because I don't like them, but Auburn is in that position.
Yeah.
They will never be successful, number one, until they get Alabama out of their minds. Y'all, they hire Hugh Freeze because he beat Alabama twice. But he had a losing record in the SEC. Where was the benefit of hiring him? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't.
Back then, there wasn't a great, still wasn't a great choices even then. And for Lane Kiffin was not going to be considered, I can tell you for sure, in that one. And that's what it came down to.
Did y'all get a chance to watch the Alabama game, basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
What did you think,
Barry? Got off to a bad start defensively. They kind of got whatever, and then they kind of settled in. I just don't know all their new guys that well. Oh, they played well. Furman's a good team. So we'll see.
Well, do we have the rim protector that we need?
No.
I didn't think so either. All right, y'all have a good day.
I just saw why Roy Rogers, that I signed, beat Auburn on and played for us. You weren't even around then, 94. This guy came into Memphis as assistant coach with Mike Davis and that group there. So I wanted to mention that about Roy Rogers because he was a heck of a rebounder. I ended up not being able to coach him his last year. But he was from Linden, Alabama. We snuck into Linden, got it.
Those twins, 7 foot twins, Theo Ratliff, I think it's Theo Ratliff. They went to USC, not Alabama, over the weekend. All right, last week. All right, that's it for today's show. We want to thank Brian Harden. He's been sponsoring this blue plate. Poor Brian. Need precision power performance. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Call Brian and staff today, 205-759-1337. That's it for today's show. Off week for Bama. Catch your breath and get ready. The LSU Tigers are coming in. They haven't announced that game time. They'll announce it today. You've got one other big game. So I think it's got a chance to be a night game. I hope so. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.